7 minutes after the hour of 9 a.m. It is, it's April 16th. And yesterday would have been tax day, Shane, but actually Monday is tax day here in the United States. So.
That's right. But isn't that Monday also?
I'm sorry?
I thought it was Easter holiday in your country on Monday.
Okay. You got to get closer to your mic.
I thought it was an Easter holiday in your country on Monday.
Well, not for the IRS, apparently.
Okay. So I have some good news that the White House, of course, doesn't want to talk about.
But I want to go over real quickly. So we watched Baker Hughes' weekly report about rigs, gas and oil rigs. And it appears that that's moving along. The oil and gas rig count rose 693 in the week of April 14th. That's its highest in March 2020. And it's important because that means there's 548 oil rigs now drilling in your country and 143 gas rigs, which, you know, we're being told, oh, that's not happening. Well, this, you know, this is a rig. The rig count has been climbing for a record 20 months, even though single digits. And finally, about it, that's important. Crude production in the U.S. will rise from 11.2 million barrels per day in 2021 to 12 million barrels per day in 2022 and 13 million barrels per day in 2023. And that's according to the Federal Department of Energy. So that compares with the record 12.3 million barrels a day in 2019. Keeping in mind, you consume over 18 million barrels a day. You're moving up the row and depending on less foreign oil than you're being sold.
Then why do we have $4 gas prices?
That's inflation, buddy. It's just pure inflation.
Well, no. You're not getting off that easy.
Well, we know that oil goes, the price of gas goes up this time of year, every year, because of the transition to summer blends, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. That's part of it.
15 cents a gallon, maybe, is normal.
That's right. That's right. But the price of oil has been rising simply because of supply and demand and what happened with COVID and the shutdown of, I mean, everything shut down in 1920, and it, you know, they keep talking about this huge comeback last year, your economy, and it's just that your economy was opening up or trying to get back to 100%. So with that was the consumption of oil and oil products. You have, you know, when I say inflation, it's also supply and demand. You know, a lot of oil and is being needed for industry as well as for gas.
Well, my understanding is that demand increased way faster than production, and you're telling me that's not the case.
That's basically supply and demand. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the principal cause, yeah.
Well, you're just telling me we've got plenty of oil now. We're ahead of where we were before all this pandemic and everything started.
Well, it's only grown slowly. In the years gone by when we were looking at this, like, the oil boom back in 12, 13, 14, you know, the rig count for gas and oil wells was double digits. You know, there were 20, 30, 40 rigs a week, you know, being built and drilling. They're just trying to get back to where they were before.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that or not.
Well, I'm sure there's price gouging in there. Yeah, that's part of it.
Well, I don't know. 90% of the stations are owned by mom and pop business people. I doubt that there's that gouging's going on in your own hometown.
Hey, look, in Canada right now, it's $1.92 a liter. I mean, how's that possible? But that's what we're looking at here.
Well, the demand, if the demand is high enough, then the high price goes in to slow the demand.
You would think that's correct.
Well, that has always been correct. Econ 101, I think.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Let's see. From our app chat line, AM 1450 KMMS on your smartphone, these Trump haters that keep texting must truly be cowards. I have never heard them call and join the open debate. Regardless, the dim Dem in the White House has us all in a very dangerous position. And they sure don't want, they sure don't have anything good to say about it. Your liberal texters are all cowards. They don't want to call in and win an argument by debate on merit. So they send zingers where their questions, able facts can't be challenged to their face. They stay anonymous in their parents' basement. Well, there you go. Let's see. Let me try to find something worth reading here.
Okay.
When you can show a wire transfer of money to Joe Biden from a Hunter deal, I'll pay attention. Meanwhile, the laptop hoax is dead. Ambiguous references that are manufactured to link Joe are nothing burgers. Well, let me ask you a serious question here. Now that the laptop has been verified as legitimate, how the hell do you know what's on it?
Good question.
You know, help me out here.
Well, it's all going to come to the forefront with the investigation in Connecticut and even in New York. You know,
Well, we already know he paid a giant fine for tax problems.
Well, we're told that have we been. Have they made it? They haven't made it public. They're just saying that.
Well, it's public enough that the IRS has fined him.
Well, it's 2.5 years till the end of Biden's term, and I imagine at some point, I suspect, like Jimmy Carter, he'll show penance to his son.
Yeah, well, maybe. From our text line,
presidential pardon.
Yeah, from our text line 478-2298. Laptop is real. What's in it is boring. Well, I don't know. Have you seen it? Have you gone through the thousands of emails on it? Are you privy to all the inside information from the FBI and the CIA and everybody else around the world on this laptop? Nothing implicates Joe. How do you know nothing implicates Joe?
But I wouldn't use the word boring. The word I would use from what I've seen and everyone has is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, Republicans believe in fairy tales like Trump won and the big guy. Well, hey, why are you even commenting on it then? If the IRS doesn't have a problem with Joe's returns, I don't either. And I would go along with that. And I've said that with Trump as well.
The IRS
came down on Biden quite heavily. Thank you very much.
That's right. And I find it interesting all these people don't seem to think that the story holds that Hunter Biden's, Russian disinformation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't think anything's going to happen to any of these people. They're above the law. You know, they just are. Much as I hate to say it, so. So, from our app chat line, AM 1450 KMMS on a smartphone. So, what is Saudi Arabia and Kuwait doing different to sell gas at their pumps at just over a dollar? Yeah.
Well, they vertically integrated.
Yeah.
Reagan's administration thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that they can afford to because they produce it, they process it, and they have to sell it cheap.
Okay. The U.S. oil production lowers prices because our global sales participation stabilizes the market.
Well, I don't know. It's one of the most important commodities on the in the world. We both agree with that. So, whatever.
Let's see. First, I'm a conservative, not a liberal. Second, I text because I'm a local business owner who can't afford your listeners boycotting me for my opinions. That's why I don't call.
Well, that's an interesting observation.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well. If you think people will boycott you because of what you're thinking, then you're part of the problem. Because I will
tell you, like the case, yeah.
I will tell you, when Rush Limbaugh was on, whatever you think of Rush Limbaugh, whether you like him or hate him, he did bring people in to places that advertised on his show locally. So just keep that in mind.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, the progressive left calls it canceling you.
Yeah.
Right. It's not going to your business. It's just canceling your business altogether.
Well, yeah, there we go. So, all right, let's take another phone call. 522-TALK is the number, 522-8255. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane.
Well, this is Clint. I just thought I'd call you and harass you two guys a little bit today.
Good morning, good sir.
Morning, Shane. I got a real important question to ask you two wise business people.
All right.
You ready for this question?
We're ready.
Tom, do you know which corporations in here in Bozeman are funding these large bills on these houses? Now, out here on the corner of Love Lane and Baxter, they've built some houses that is not even occupied.
Mm.
And from what I understand, there's corporate entities from back east and various different places that are building these, and I was wondering if you know who it is, Tom, you or Shane.
I don't know who it is, but it would be a matter of public record with the county.
Well, I thought maybe you were the smart guy. You'd find out and let us all know.
Well, I can certainly look into it, sure.
Is it Wall Street? Is it a private corporation other than Wall Street? Individual? I'd like to know that, and I think the people of the Valley would like to know that.
Okay.
Well, there are two major companies buying real estate in the U.S. besides the Chinese, Carlyle Group and BlackRock. So they're moving into secondary markets like Bozeman or like Kamloops in Canada and buying up real estate.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another question. How can we keep building all these when we don't have the sewage disposal? And out here, they're trying to enlarge the plant to take on a little more, and eventually it's going to wind up in the Gallatin River. I already know that. But what I'm wondering, we only have so much water that sheds out of the mountains for the city of Bozeman. And we only have so much water for the wells and the rivers and the fish and everything else. And we've had a dry year last year. We're going to have another one, it looks like, for this year, our water content that we should have for a year is only about 74-75% in the Gallatin Range. And if it runs off too quick, then it's going to be all hell to pay. So how can these folks keep sucking water out of the ground and not hurt the other, eventually it's going to hurt the other wells that are in the ground out here in the country?
Well, the city has, been fighting that battle for the last couple of years, as you know, Clint.
Yeah,
They've been giving it lip service, but I don't see a whole lot happening that's going to change that. We had brownouts here. Days we couldn't water in Bozeman last year. We'll probably have that again this year, more than likely. But you're right. Unless we can find a source of water, or unless we can store water, either with dams or more reservoirs or something, we're gonna have an issue here with water.
Well,
no problem.
Most people don't understand is when you drill a well, you can get a well, let's say, at 40 feet. I think 40 feet is the law that you can you can go that deep by yourself. You can drill it yourself, but it has to be 40 feet, I believe. But the thing is, these wells, like I have out here, I got four or five wells out here, and the thing is, if the snowpack and the rain isn't coming into the mountains, and it isn't flowing down through the various different faults in the earth, see, every one of these canyons are faults,
yep,
pretty much. Mm-hmm. And if they're not getting any water through them faults, then the water that's within the ground, our groundwater and our springs and our sub-irrigated, will soon dry up. So what I'm saying is the city of Bozeman and Belgrade and all of us out here, we're going to have to put a moratorium, it looks to me like, on some of this building, because we won't have the capability or the water resources to take care of this stuff. Now, yeah. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I don't think we will.
Well, what you know, the hell can they, we let, do? How can
do
we
something.
Approach?
Yeah.
You know, the county planning board, I've never known them to ever come out and look at any project that they're going to approve. I've never known the county commissioners to come out and look at something before they give final plat approval. So they go by the advice of the engineering firm that's doing the job. Well, that's going to have to stop. These planning boards are going to have to take and spend a little of our taxpayers' money and start looking at some of these projects, or we're going to be in big trouble. I mean, these developers and these big corporations that are coming in here are buying up this land from the farmer and rancher because he can't afford to pay taxes anymore, and he's selling it, and they're raising the taxes on everybody else. Anytime a corporation comes in here and buys a plot of land and puts houses on it, then a reappraisal comes along, and your value of your land goes up, and the damn farmer and rancher can't afford to pay anymore. So what's happening here? We've got to stop this. We've got to put a moratorium on this growth until we can figure out how much water we're going to have in a dry year.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a wet year, but in a dry year. I'm an engineer, damn it, and some of these things that these city engineers are doing, it's beyond me. It
yeah.
is actually beyond me what they're doing to this community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I don't know what you guys think, but that's what I think.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. I think I'm correct.
And okay.
The economic situation coming, it's going to be similar to 78 or 87, rather.
Yeah.
When Japan was out buying everything in the U.S. Remember, they were buying golf courses.
Yeah, I remember.
Empire State Building and all of Hawaii. And then their economy tanked.
And they bought a hell of a lot of land up here at West Yellowstone, the Japs did.
Yeah, and then they had to sell it at a dime on the dollar because everything went down the tubes. And
yeah,
China's doing the same thing. They're billionaires. They're not real.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to move money offshore. They're buying property all over the U.S. And their economy is falling quickly. And, you know, and added to that, what will happen in the next several months, you know, consumer consumption in the U.S., they keep bragging about to some degree, it's not that strong.
Mm-hmm.
And while Americans are consuming what they need, they're not spending any money on anything else. So,
well, here's one other thing, Shane, I want to say about this. We have a lot of people camping on the streets and side streets in Bozeman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Tom, you know mm-hmm. that as well as I do.
Yeah, we sure do.
Okay, now here's something that I don't understand. A house is $890,000. But the guy that's doing the work, the carpenter, gets a fairly decent wage of building them and stuff like that. I agree there. But who is going to occupy them? The people in these here motor homes and camp trailers and stuff along the streets can't because they don't make enough in wages.
Well, Clint, the people buying them, Clint.
Yeah, the wage factor between the housing factor, it's an impossibility for these people to have a job and be able to rent an apartment unless there are three or four of them go together to try to rent. And I know people that are doing that. I've met some of them, talked to them. So what in the hell is going to happen here? Are we going to have
what's
more
going
homeless,
on?
Homeless people
what's
on
going
the street?
On, Clint?
Yeah.
Hang on, Clint. Go ahead, Shane.
Look, Clint, what's going on is the wealthy around the world are looking for a safe haven home, maybe a second, third, or even fourth home.
Yeah,
so
okay.
They can afford to pay 800,000 to 5 million for a home. So that's what's going on.
Okay, but here's the problem. They can come in here and buy these homes, and I know this county is a rich in tax base. I know they got more money and brains, I think. But the thing is, the people that count, the poor people that are working, and restaurants, and in department stores, they're not making enough money to afford to live here, so they got to live in the damn street outside of Lowe's, behind Lowe's, and out there by Winco. They're forced to do that. Okay? Now, there's got to be an adjustment here someplace or some way to take care of these people, or we're going to have a hell of a problem here in the near future. They're furnishing, they're working for the rich, let's put it that way. They're working for the rich, and they're getting $10 or $15 or $20 an hour, and they ain't enough money to live in this damn county anymore.
Well, it is pricey to live here. There's no question about that.
What the hell are we going to do, Tom? How can we help the county and the city? I know how to do it. You just put a moratorium on the building, and the water also. But they're going to do that.
That ain't going to happen.
No, I know that.
All right, I got to go, Clint. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, well,
man.
I just wanted to put that out there, and this is about our community here, and I'm really worried about it.
Yeah.
And the inflation, as you know, is taking off, and the people, $4 and some gas, it's going to get more.
All right, man. Thanks much.
See you later. Bye.
All right, bye bye. All right, Shay, that's going to wrap it up for this segment. We've still got an hour and a half to go, and thankfully we're now taping, so we're ready to. We'll have a 2 hour brief show, I guess, up online after the show. So stay tuned for that. So, all right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't go away. 27 minutes for the top of the hour. Welcome back, everyone. We've got a caller patiently waiting on the line. Let's go to the phones. 522-TALK is the number, 522-8255. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane. What's up?
Tom and Shane, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Clint brings up a question that I think most of us know we're going to have to do something about. We've got a big battle coming because property tax is what's really causing our problem. Government wants to keep that as a source of income. They do not want to participate in the ups and downs of the economy, but it's setting us up for the same problem that has happened previously in Colorado Springs. It's happening in Jackson, Wyoming. It's happening up here at Big Sky. It was millionaires replacing local people. Now it's billionaires replacing millionaires. And they need all strata of the income brackets to be able to live here. Otherwise, there won't be anybody here to serve their needs. And property tax is causing the problem. Government loves it. Most of the rest of us don't.
Yeah. Well, there is that, certainly. There's no question with the increase in housing and they're going to do the reassessment here coming up pretty quick, aren't they? Don't they reassess them every, 2 years or four years or something?
Every 2 years.
Every 2 years,
yes.
Yeah. So that should be coming up pretty quickly here.
But most of us that have been long-time residents here are living in a house that is valued at prices way above what we paid for them.
Yeah. No, I realize that.
And we got there on an income level that was substantially lower than all of these people that are moving in now.
Yeah.
Just because somebody moves into your neighborhood, buys a house, pays an outlandish price for it, government gets to raise everybody's taxes because of it.
That you're absolutely right. For the last 40 years, the country's moved from an industrial economy to a service-based economy.
So without without a middle class, you don't have the people to do the service work.
Yeah. I've been hammering on some local legislators. Quite frankly, they're all scared to death to bring it up. Why? Because they get hammered by the bureaucracy and and certain special interests for even talking about doing anything to replace the property tax, because Montana's legislature long ago proved it wasn't trustworthy, and every time sales tax comes up, they don't do what they promise, and they want a tax in addition to instead of replacing property tax. It's the system of property tax that is screwing us up.
Well, it certainly is, and they want to add a sales tax. If we get rid of the property tax, they want to add a pretty hefty sales tax that, you know, not only Montana residents would pay, but outsiders would also pay coming here. But still, I think we, as bad as property taxes are, I think most of us, you know, if you buy a dollar candy bar, it's nice, it's a dollar. It's not a dollar ten.
Yeah, those candy bars that you and I paid a nickel for.
Yeah, right,
when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly right. Those were the days, huh?
Yes.
All right, man. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Take care. All right. Yeah. Boy, those nickel candy bars back in the day, Shane.
They were something. Peanut butter cups, maybe.
Yeah, that would be it. So are there specific Canadian, is there the Canada Milky Way, or you got your own brands up there?
They all come from the Mars family, you know, the largest private company in the world. They're doing pretty good, those ones.
They do okay, yeah. Well, I wanted to touch a little bit on what Clint was talking about with the water. Our water comes from three sources. We get it from Lyman Spring in the Bridger foothills. We get it from Sourdough Creek and also Highlight Reservoir. And the problem is that we use a system of prior appropriation to determine water rights. So those whose rights are older get priority when water supply is low. Now, Bozeman is in the upper Missouri River Basin, which is a closed basin, meaning that there's no more water rights to be acquired from that. So supposedly the city claims, and this is just the city, not the county, but the city claims we have water to last till 2033, if there's a 4% growth. If it grows more than that, then obviously that is going to reduce the amount of time. But the city is looking to establish some groundwater wells as an additional water source, and they're looking at Bozeman Sports Park out on Flanders Road, Flanders Mill, and they want to drill some test sites out there to see if the wells would provide existing water supply that could function as a backup if something compromised the sourdough water treatment plant or if wildfire endangered the city's water supply. So that's what they're trying to do, and they're going to allocate $10 million for the project in 2025, though it's far from a surefire deal. So that's where we're kind of in limbo, waiting for something to happen here, Shane. So
it's a hard wait.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Well, water, you know, you look at Las Vegas, for example, they put up Hoover Dam. So because if you've been to Las Vegas, you know how much water they use, man. They got fountains everywhere. It's ridiculous. All right, let's take some phone calls. 522-TALK is the number, 522-8255. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane. What's up?
Well, regarding Clint's problem with people living in the street,
that work here, that is an ancient old problem. I remember hearing about that 50 years ago, and they used to call it Pitkin's disease.
Yeah.
We're in Aspen, Colorado, is in Pitkin County, and that's where the rich come in and buy up everything, and there's no place left for the working class to live.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they solved that in the ski areas in Colorado is they built communities, and they're almost exclusively aliens. Mexican libraries. They like to have the illegal alien working there,
mm-hmm.
because they work hard and they don't make any noise. And that's what happens in those ski areas. It's already happening up in Big Sky.
Yeah, Big Sky is putting up some low-cost housing for people who work at the resorts and the various areas there, and I think that's a good idea. But they're a much smaller entity than we are. That's the issue.
Eventually, and then a lot of it's taxed in Madison County, too. Remember that the Yellowstone Club is in Madison County,
mm-hmm.
for the large part. But a lot of the people that work up there will end up living on the estate of the rich people that they work for, just like they used to in the times of the nobility in England. That's what's coming. The middle class gone in this country. I mean, there's still business people that are working, so mm-hmm. it's going to be ugly here. People living on the streets, I noticed that they live on the streets that have been developed but not yet populated.
Yeah, in many cases, in other words, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, the developer, Bozeman has this crazy system of the sidewalks and the streets aren't developed until the developer has to do it, not the city. The
yeah.
city doesn't add it on to the cost of the land. Hmm. They do the planning, and then they expect the developer to step in and do the improvements.
Yeah.
And so the places where they've already done the improvements but not yet put up the buildings, that's where people are camping now. You got me.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody invents a camper that's warm in the winter, now that's going to be a winning situation.
Yeah. Well, so, Thomas has a rant from you from the Human Resources Development Council breaking ground on a $28 million new campus. So you should tell him about it, Tom.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, it'll be on the way.
And as far as groundwater goes, a development over here by Catrone Street hit a massive, they went in to just dig a simple, not a basement, but just a crawl space, and have hit a massive plume of water that they had to pump into the sewer system. They're still pumping it out.
Wow.
It's coming from a creek. So this place is a floating island.
Yeah. Well, they got water everywhere. Not as dry. All the boards did shrink.
Well, getting a bad case of Pitkin's disease. Anytime you get ski areas, you're going to attract. You're
right,
going to have it.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for the call. All right. Appreciate it. All right. Let's see from our app chat line, AM 1450 KMMS on your smartphone. I love hearing from Clint. We need to worry way more about keeping our watershed from being contaminated than it running out. Someday through the water situation could become very scary and Mad Max style. So there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Clint is right. There will not be enough. Californians are practice good at street living. Cold temps only restraint next to San Francisco, I should say. Yeah, I messed that up badly, but yeah. Well, as I've said here every year we've been on the broadcast, Shane, if you're in Bozeman, Montana in August and you're not heading south, there's something wrong with you.
So, yeah, you can't afford to walk.
Yeah. Regarding property tax, is it true there is a bill in Helena that says something to the effect that we pay tax on the amount we paid instead of what our neighbors paid now? I'm not familiar with that bill, but we can certainly do some research and find out about it. Yeah.
All right.
Simple solution for Clint's water issue. Anyone moving into Gallatin County from anywhere else must bring in a 10-year supply of water.
That's very good.
That'll work.
That's original.
Yeah, let's bring in the water. Let's go for that. All right. Well, as you know, Florida had a... it's the so-called "Don't Say Gay" bill, but there's nothing about gay in the bill at all. So, but anyway, we've got some folks taking exception to that, and we've got other states that are joining Florida in the same thing. We'll talk about it in just a second, but let's take a couple phone calls. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane. What's up?
Is that me there, Tom and Shane?
That's you.
It would be you, well, good I sir.
I don't usually talk about water because Clinton covers that pretty well.
Yeah.
However, years ago when I bought my place out here south of town, I bumped into the guy that, Shane, you're going to keep talking? Should I shut up?
I'm sorry.
I'm getting wicked feedback or something from him, but from me. I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, the guy that drilled all the wells out here, the old man, he told me that you'll never run out of water out there. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think he planned on all this irrigated land being sold and turned into houses. His perk test all the way from the highlight all the way into town on 19. Here's the deal. Two of the people that have places out here, one on each side of me, have had to lower their well pumps. And there's a third guy, I don't know what he's doing. I haven't been able to catch him yet, but he's got people working on his well. But anyway, the water table dropped enough out here to where at least two of these people had to lower their pumps in the well.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I think it's a combination of, you know, too much draw on the water and the lack of the irrigation that we used to have here, you know, on all this farmland. And if you look at it, they're digging on 19th. That's some of the most productive looking soil I've ever seen. I mean, it's as black as the ace of spades, and it's a shame to see it, you know, go to waste. But that this 19th, like I said, from town all the way out to where I am and beyond, there's perk tests sticking up out of the ground everywhere. So we ain't seen the end of this. And I don't think that our water out here, it's not an aquifer. It's water that's constantly moving. And from me to town, it's all downhill. So I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, water is definitely going to be a big problem here. I can't see no way around it. I mean, and sewer treatment, there's another thing.
Yep.
You know, that takes water.
Yep.
So we're looking at some hard times here, I'll tell you right now, between what's going on in the world, what we got going on right here in the valley. And it's the bankers are buying up real estate like there's no tomorrow. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but and they're buying up communities. They'll buy up every house in a whole community. And that's not a good thing, I don't think. Well, what the hell, you know, money talks and BS walks. That's going to have to change, I think. I don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to solve the problem, or if we can. They've talked about Mystic Lake, you know, forever. Since they shut it down, we've been talking about it. And I don't know, like I said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's all I can tell you. And it's going to be ugly.
All right,
but anyway, didn't mean to step on Clint's toes. He's the one guy. But,
that's,
you know,
for sure.
Personal experience out here in the last month tells me that between the drought and the lack of irrigation, you know, that we used to have out here on all this farmland, and now you're putting use on it.
Yep.
And I don't
it's
know.
Tough.
Yeah, it is. Yep. I don't know how you get out of this mess, but they're going to have to figure something out.
Well, that's what I say. You know, they're looking to do wells. They're looking for other possibilities. But yeah, we have a short time span here to do something. That's for sure. So.
Yeah. Well, there's four families on this on my well, the well that I get water off of. So when I had lowered the last time we've had three instances of broken pipes, and you know we had to dig up 800 some feet one time, but it's going to get more difficult. I had them lower our pump 3 years ago, I guess. Yeah. I took it down to 2 feet off the bottom, I think. But the old well driller, he didn't see this coming, I'll tell you what. Because you'll never run out of water out there.
Yeah, right. well, we'll find out, I guess.
Yep, we will. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. All right. Yeah, as long as I got enough to make coffee, I'm happy. So.
That's right. well, the difficulty is that, you're looking at a minimum of 10 years to build water facilities or sewage facilities because licensing, environmentalists will hold it up like 7 years or 5 years or so, and then it takes 2 or 3 years to build it, right? So that's why it's such a difficult problem because people fail to realize the time it takes to modernize by building new, you know. So what most urban areas do is they have to upgrade because that way they can avoid, you know, any interference on licensing and environmentalists.
Yeah. From our text line, 478-8298, Clint is right. We need to protect our water, which is why I'm glad that Biden reversed Trump's deregulation that allowed mines to dump pollution into our rivers and streams.
Well, that's a no-brainer. We know that's not what happened. So.
Yeah. So, Trumpicans are boycotting Disney. They don't think they would my business for my anti-Trump text, and I'm conservative. Well,
not true.
Well, they're
didn't hit the stock. Well, first of all, look, the stock didn't get hit. So, you know, number one, the biggest problem that Disney has right now is streaming and you know getting people involved in that side. Their parks and resorts are doing phenomenal. It's a huge cash cow for them, and they're doing exceedingly well with them.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, Florida passed a law that prohibits schools from teaching gender. How can I say this? So, got moms with kids in the car and all of that, you know, going along. So. There are certain body parts that shouldn't be talked about to kindergarten and third grade and, you know, that can't comprehend what all that means biologically.
That's so, right. School is not a private time for children. It's a social time.
Yeah.
And like people that have a job, it's a professional time for children until they're 18. So, you know, the privacy issues should be settled at home, not at school. Stick to the professional side, reading, writing, arithmetic, computers, and finance, and let the parents teach their children about the personal choices they have to make in life. You don't have a right to that. And that's basically what the bill said.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, personal time with the parents to be shared with, not some transvest person that's teaching or, you know, whatever. And, you know, they deny it's going on. And, oh, well, COVID brought to the parents' attention homeschooling, what their kids were being taught. So, you know, Jack in the Box popped out and everyone found out what was really going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there we go. So what can I tell you?
More or less.
All right. So. All right. Well, other things, we got to talk about other things here besides water.
Sure.
well, let's see, where are we time-wise here? We're getting. I'll do a tease for the next segment then, Shane, since we're on top of the thing here. Looming recession. I know that's something that you want to talk about, that with the inflation that we've got now, the oil, Ukraine, you know, all of the things that are going on, we're probably looking at a pretty good recession this summer. And
already in the recession, we'll save it for the last block because we got to spend 10, 15 minutes of the last half hour talking about all this. Okay.
Yeah, at least. So, yeah. So anyway, so we've got that coming up. Also, the vulnerable Democrats are bucking Biden on the Trump immigration. A lot of these vulnerable Democrats don't like this open border, the repeal of 42 that says that you can't just let somebody go just because they crossed the border.
That's right.
So we're going to be
and we got to talk about this great thing that Texas is doing because, you know, everybody's accusing them of, you know, we'll talk about it. It's an interesting concept that I think that Texas should say it is a publicity stunt. So if you want to know what the publicity stunt of Texas is, stay tuned.
Yeah. And if you bought eggs in the last week, we'll tell you why they're so damn expensive. That's coming up, too. So we'll be right back. So stay tuned. Hey, Tom and Shane on Saturday morning, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. We still have a full hour to go, and we're glad that you've chose to spend your morning with us because, hey, without you, we wouldn't be here. Well, we'd probably still be here, but nobody would listen, so that's okay. All right. We'll be back right after the news at the bottom of the hour, so don't go away. 7 minutes after the hour of 10 a.m., it's Saturday. It's April 16th. It's 2022. Happy Easter to everybody out there. Shane Tobin, half man, half amazing on the line. Tom Egeloff, your morning mayor in the house. And, well, I don't know, Shane, recession? Sure thing? In the bag?
Oh, you're already in it. Session, you know, we've talked about this since last May in preparation. So we'll have our Treasury news at 9:40 this hour and go over it all. But there were a couple of things you did want to specifically highlight, and of course that's the cost of money to borrow to buy a house. It's accelerating very quickly as we anticipated.
Went up to 5%, I believe, Shane. So.
Yeah, it's staggering. It's one of these things you look at it and you know it's coming, and we can do is let everyone know, be prepared.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah, the mortgage rates obviously that's a decade high of 5%. In fact, I remember back in 1980 when you know, home loans were 15% or somewhere between 10 and 12. I think I got mine for 12. And we thought that was the new standard. We thought that's where they were always going to be because they hadn't averaged above 6% since the Civil War until 1980.
And then the Fed, in an effort to fight what they called inflation at the time, you know, they drove the Fed rate, you know, to double digits, you know, 14, 15, 16%.
Yeah. Yeah, prime rate was 20%. That's the rate banks use to borrow money from each other. And yeah, it was, we had 10% inflation, 10% unemployment. It was a tough time compared to right now.
That's right. And Nixon, of course, you know, he tried to freeze prices. And, you know, it was new economics of the 20th century that they were trying. And unfortunately, they didn't work very well.
Yeah, no, it didn't. Yeah. From our app chat line, AM 1450 KMMS on your smartphone, your caller is right on point. Bozeman and the Valley all together is forcing the working man out. The middle class is truly under attack.
It is. And as I said before in the previous block, the reason this is so dangerous is because your middle class, you know, 60% of the middle class are in service-based jobs, and that's your economy now. And you know, 120 years ago, 92% were, it was an agrarian economy. And by 1925, you know, that had swung to 60% was industrial. And then that grew to 80% by the 80s. And then because of a wonderful thing called technology and computers, you know, you had 40 million jobs, 45 million jobs from 1982 to 94 were created in a brand new industry that changed your country into a service-based industry. So you've gone through these transitions economically with new technology, new ideas, and a fantastic pursuit of wanting to provide a middle class. Where do we go next? Well, sort of wanting to use the hidden idea of a, you know, green new earth by creating green new jobs, but no one's really telling us what those green new jobs are, because, you know, a lot of the industry is robotics, like we talked about.
I guess they're going to be planting trees. I don't know. Or saving
they're
whales.
Doing that already.
Saving the whales. All right. Let's take a phone call. 522-TALK is the number. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane. What's up? And maybe Hello. Not. All right. Yeah, stupid phones. I don't know, Shane. I'm driving me crazy, trying to put on a piece of entertainment here, and it just ain't working. So.
Well, it's really hard because, you know, 3-4 months ago, we'd get 25 to 30 phone calls.
Yeah, that's true.
And now we're trying to get, you know, 10 to 15, and we miss everyone that would call in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's bad. I would love to debate Shane on so many topics on the phone, but only if I could disguise my voice, because your listeners would bash me and boycott my business. Most of your listeners swear Trump won and the election was stolen. Sad. Well, I think there's probably a minuscule amount of people that believe Trump lost the election.
And there's a minuscule amount of people that boycott. You know, the only people that are doing that is the... You know, progressive left that cancels you. They don't boycott you. They just wipe you out.
Yeah, I was going to say, conservatives aren't going to boycott you, I don't believe. Yeah. We just don't do that.
No, they don't do that.
Yeah, because we realize we're all in the same boat together, you know, so.
We make this happen together, not apart.
Okay. If you need help, go down to Radio Shack or get on Amazon, because they do have the voice disruptors that will disguise your voice, and you can call us and Shane will debate you till the cows come home. I promise. So,
and I won't moo once.
That's right. He won't. let's see if we can get another call in. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane. What's up?
Yeah, guys, this is Steve.
Hey,
you know, it's amazing. 100 years ago, a guy said, give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. That would be the Rothschild family that are not Americans, but the Bank of England, and they own. Anyway, they created the wars, because then they get to loan money to both sides. They control the news media. They control the... what people hear. And today in America, we practice all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, have none of the Bill of Rights left intact, and we think everything's just fine. Some people do, some people don't. Anyway, I happen to be one that doesn't like what's going on in our country. And I think if you listen to some of the alternative news media, because the major news media is totally controlled, that you'll get a little different perspective on what is going on in our country. Now, right now, like this thing with Putin, what he's doing is, I think, what needed to be done in Ukraine. Sure, from what I've understood, some of the money changers are doing bombing where they shouldn't be, but Putin was there to clean up the country, and those biological factories that are creating these different diseases that we have going on in our world today. It's about getting rid of about 7 billion people on this planet. That's what this whole virus.
Oh,
it doesn't. It'll be the vaccination. But anyway, that's just some of the things that I see that's going on. And I'm not taking any vaccinations. And so I would guess, I would just recommend people, if you want to really know what's going on, go get the American Free Press or subscribe to it or something. Get some alternative news media. And some of these liberals that call in that don't have a clue what's going on, maybe they'll wake up too.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call, man.
You bet.
Appreciate it. All right. Let's see. Well, Shane, one of the things that we've got going on is that a lot of Democrats are hoping that Trump's endorsement of some of the Democrat opponents is going to work in favor of the Democrat Party.
Well, he's got a pretty good track record, right? What can you say?
No, what they're getting at is if Trump backs a Republican opponent, the Democrats are going to turn out in mass to defeat that person, not because they're Republican, but because Trump endorsed them.
I think the Democrats are trying to grab at anything they can, Thomas, because it's the policies are so bad. The economy is going to be a wreck. I mean, it's just going to get worse. Inflation is going to get worse. Interest rates going to get worse. Price of gas is going to get price of food. All of this is going to continue to rise right through the Biden presidency. So, you know, by November, people are going to be, you know, mothers in urban areas and neighborhoods having their tires slashed. You know, I mean, they're just full-blown, you know, It's a disaster control.
Yeah. Well, we'll see certainly how it turns out. We're going to have an additional representative in the House this time around. So that's going to help Montana a little bit. And of course, our two senators. So, but, and seeing where that goes, but I tell you, I think the Trump hatred does may have an effect on some of these candidates, depending on where they are, and the Trump seal of approval may not be a benefit to them.
I disagree. I think, you know, I'm talking right now, have been for months, about the tipping point in the economy. Mm-hmm. You're now finding a tipping point in politics. You've got a mayor of New York that was just recently elected, and he's worse than the previous one now. Now they're calling him the worst of all time. This shooting this week, you know, on a train with cameras that don't work and people being hurt and run off, it's terrible. So until the tipping point in politics happens in states like New York and California and Ohio and Michigan, and Democrats aren't elected until that, you know, unless that happens, things are they're just going to get worse, Thomas. They're not going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's see. From our text line, we have, is it true that Venezuela, Sri Lanka, easy for me to say, and two other countries' central banks went bankrupt?
Not that I've seen or read. I could look and check, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. Yeah.
Well, Sri Lanka. I'll get it in a minute. Sri Lanka is on the verge. They're asking people to send cash home, and they are somewhat bankrupt, I guess.
Well, in the sense of foreign reserves, meaning foreign currency, particularly American, you know, so they can trade, because obviously their currencies aren't of value other than to their own economies.
Yeah.
On a global basis. So if you're in the global trading system, SWIFT in particular, you need American cash. Bitcoins don't work. People have tried that, but a lot of countries aren't taking it. And you can see why with what's happened to it. It's collapsed. But having said that, right now, there is no story about the American dollar except it's getting stronger. I mean, U.S., the European, the euro's dropping against it. Canada's, we're holding a bit because of, I think, oil. But, you know, right now, it's a tale of two economies, and we will get into it because we have to.
Yeah. Well, Venezuela, their iron ore exports to China is fueling their debt crisis, that they're not shipping nearly what they were before. And I don't know if some of that is due to the supply chain situation or not, Shane, they had a deal with China, I guess, that went south. So Venezuela, as far as their inflation rate has come down dramatically, Shane, it's not in the thousands anymore. It's 284% inflation. So it was about 2,800 inflation rate, but.
The Maduro government put into, did a big deal with China to fund and build the facilities you're talking about with iron ore. So they owe them money, number one. Number two, the bulk rates on shipping that we look at, two types of ships, bulk, container, tanker, cruise. The cost of renting those or operating those have dropped off significantly. Mm-hmm. And that's because, people talk about trade as something interfering with it. Well, basically what's interfering with it is people aren't consuming on a global basis what they were pre-COVID. That has not gone back. Discretionary spending has not gone back to what it was pre-COVID.
Okay. Ask each caller, do you believe Trump won? 70% of Republicans believe this. Well, I don't know where you get your numbers, but. And they believe a laptop somehow has proof of something. Try it. I dare you. Okay, fine. Anybody who calls, let me know.
Exactly.
Trump and
When you receive a memo that tells you, let us know. Because even when you get an article from the Washington Post and the New York Times, you still deny.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty tough, yeah. Trump endorsements. Has almost never backfired. Dems on New York have gerrymandered half of Republican seats by New York, never gets electoral vote anyway. Because of New York City.
Yeah. New York City and the surrounding area, of course, 12 million people. But, upper state New York is pretty conservative, it always has been, both in the state houses and federally. So, there are several congressmen from New York and northern New York, but the tipping point is at what point do the people of New York City, for example, decide, let's try something different than a Democrat? Watching their mayor this week and what he was saying, trying to misdirect the whole thing about the disaster on this subway system that, 80% of the people that still have a job in New York City rely on the public transit, and 40% of them, it only has a 40% usage rate right now. So he comes out and tries to misdirect it and start talking about children, black children dying, and why aren't we in? You were in the streets with what happened, 2 years ago. Why aren't you now? And it's always, racism, Black Lives Matter this week was blowing up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They literally raised over $1 billion, $1 billion, Tom. And no accountability. There's no accounting. There's no company. There's no bank account. I mean, they did a better job than the Clintons did.
Yeah, there it is. Well, we got the new BLM, Biden's Laptop Matters. So,
yeah.
You know, so. Disagree with Shane. Trump's participation will open up old centrist wounds.
I didn't hear that. What was the first part?
Disagree with Shane. Trump's participation will open up old centrist wounds. You mean low unemployment and
you know, instead of you know Biden's policy of make you know Russia great again, make China great again, you know, make America great again, like it, of course. I'm wrong.
I got
that one wrong.
Well, I shouldn't have said that on the unemployment because presidents don't have anything to do with unemployment. So.
That's correct. And then based on what the government's telling us, your government, you know, you're at full employment, like just 3% unemployed. So there you go.
Fauci predicted another lockdown in the future, dollars to donuts, just in time to affect the midterms. Did you read that poll? It says 70% of voters would have voted differently if they had known about Hunter's laptop. And I read DeSantis destroyed the Democrats' gerrymandering efforts in Florida. Is this true?
Well, you just go online, look at the videos coming out from TikTok and YouTube from Shanghai, you know, the most prosperous city in China, and it's lockdown. You know, 35 million people within 200 miles of the city lockdown. And people are now going into the streets and demonstrating in China. Yeah. I mean, it's just, whole lot of issue there, folks. No more lockdowns, no more masks, you know. Let children see each other and communicate and socialize in school, please.
Yeah. Well, I do know that in several states, Democrats have taken gerrymandering to court. Now, whether Florida is one of them, I don't know. Florida's been pretty open to most everything. So I don't know if that would be one of them or not without looking it up. But
well, no, you're right. But it's been going on for 100 years. Both parties go to court, and some district or you know federal court makes a decision, and they, you know it's
So it's but to the victor belong the spoils, right?
And the seat.
And the seat. Let's see if we can get another phone call in here. 522-TALK is the number, 522-8255. Caller, you are on with Tom and Jane. What's up?
I think Trump was cheated on the election.
Okay. All right.
You want any details?
Sure.
His opponent, Biden, was an abysmal failure at campaigning. Literally took the most prime time of the campaign and sat in his basement. He's a not an aesthetic guy. Most people vote by looks. He stumbles around. He's just a horrible campaigner. Didn't speak clearly. And we got the election going along. One of the few times I watch TV to go see the election. 2 o'clock in the morning, Trump's in the lead handily. 2 o'clock in the morning. He's in the lead in key states, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan. He's way in the lead. Suddenly, 2 hours later, all those states reverse. What is the chance of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to debate me on this, are you, Tom?
Well, no. No, I'm not, because I'm out of time.
You don't have a position to debate me on.
No, I don't. Hey, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. All right. Sounds good. All right. So there you are. Well, you dared me. I did it. So. All right. We come back. Shane's got a rant on more on the recession and why we are going slowly into the porcelain fixture. So we'll be back with that right after this. So stay tuned. We also have to talk about the chickens. I mean, come on. Jeez, chickens are in trouble. All right, welcome back, everyone. It is, 27 minutes before the top of the hour. It's April 16th, 2022, and it's Easter weekend. And the USFL, the United States Football League, goes on tonight. Shane on Fox, can you contain yourself from...
You'll have to explain it to me. I didn't take the time to look at it, Tom, because I'm not really sure what it's all about. I guess another effort to compete with the NFL. That's come and gone. In the 12 years we've been doing this, it's come and gone, what, twice before already?
No, at least. Well, the interesting thing about this, Shade, or the reason you want to watch is that usually at an NFL game, they have, maybe 20 cameras. They got end zone lines and, down both sides and the end zones and on the sidelines or whatever.
And the hanging camera.
Yeah, they got the hanging camera. These guys are going to have 16 people on both sides of the football mic'd, and the referees are going to have cameras in their hats, and they're going to have helmet cams, and they've got something like 50 cameras at this thing. So
what time does it start?
I think it's 7-8 o'clock somewhere in there on Fox.
On Fox.
Yeah, check your local listings for whatever it is. So, let's see. 1340 in Livingston's been out for a week, according to Right on John over in our KMMS AM 1450 chat line thing. Open for business being preempted by commercials. Have you got the thing on, Shane? The online, the app? You got the app
No.
on? Oh. Okay. Because I tried it, and I think they're right. I think it's, I don't know what's going on with it. So, anyway.
Okay.
Let's see. Also, Trump won. The laptop is real. Something like 70% of people who voted for Biden said they wouldn't have it, if they knew about the cover-up laptop.
Well, that's not what the polls say. The polls say something around 14-15% may not have voted for Biden, but that would have changed the election, perhaps.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's only 150,000 votes, right? Five states.
From our text line 4788298 about immigration, the left-wing excuse makers have declared that the open border policy is needed to fill the job vacancies in the U.S. They fail to acknowledge that the available job opportunities has increased the minimum wage expectancy without Congress having to lift a finger.
So. Well, apparently that's not true based on the numbers you and I talk about, look at, and number one. Number two, with all the benefits they're getting from your federal government, state and local governments, they don't need to work. So, that's just a misrepresentation of what's happening.
Yeah.
The one thing that is true is they're not democratic. That's what they're running from, socialism. They're more conservative, they're more religious, and they do want to work and build a family. That's what they're a family unit. They're what do they call it? The nuclear family? They want to be the nuclear family.
Yeah. Election night was exactly as predicted. In-person Trump votes first because he told them to vote in person, then mail in. Trump was banking on stealing it by tossing out mail-in votes.
Well, my argument has always been, and when we went through this whole thing, which we did for months, of course, was that all the rural counties in the election that night reported first, like in a state like Georgia. So, the Democrats had the count for, all the Republican count in the rural areas. And my position with this is that they looked at that and they planned for that. And they rode in with enough votes after the rural count came in because they didn't start counting. That's the giveaway. They weren't counting the urban votes in big cities like Atlanta and Georgia until after all the Republican votes came in the rural areas. That's my giveaway to it. So how they did it, whether they did it, I don't know. But if there's an argument, that's always been mine.
Yeah. What is in that laptop that is covering up the right-wing media who have all the emails couldn't find squat to directly link Joe?
Don't believe that. All they have to do is look at credit cards. What second cards did his son Hunter provide? My bet, both him and his wife, your president, the first lady, both had credit cards, secondary credit cards from Hunter. Great way to hide, you know, great way to hide it. The banks allow it. That probably would happen. If they get access to his bank records, they'll find out.
Well, they already found out that he's, you know, scrimped all over the place on his taxes. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Laptop story is a case of how a tabloid hoax gets wings. Rudy made up a story. People believed it. There's nothing there to prove anything he claimed. Well, how do you know that? That's what I don't understand how these people can say there's nothing on a laptop they haven't seen or know nothing about. In fact, there's three laptops. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that, the person that sent that believes that Russia, you know, owned Trump and yeah. The Chinese owned Trump and... Yeah, right. Like, we know that's not true. I mean,
yeah.
You know, President Trump was the most investigated president in history. I mean, my God, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars to find something wrong with the guy.
There you are. All right. Let's take another phone call. 522-TALK is the number. Caller, you're on with Tom and Shane. What's up?
You're not more than Tom, more Shane, right on John here.
Hey.
Oh, what a wild and crazy morning here of everything going on here. I'll just rip through it real quick here. With your on Facebook when you do your podcast or whatever, really be nice if you lowered your mic or tilted it and so we can see your lips moving.
Okay.
then we'd look like politicians.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no kidding. But you can't. I'll just rip through this really quick here. Their majority of the fact checkers have found that whatever they when they put people into digital jail and stuff like this, they were found to be wrong. But under the SEC rules and everything like that, if it's you're mentioning that you're going to do harm to others or anything, so Nancy, if you're listening, or a business or anything like that, that's the only time. That you really should, your free speech should be removed. For Clint, let's see here. If you take too much, like in Nevada or whatever, they took too much groundwater on out, and they're finding that their land was collapsing, and it's going to take hundreds of years in order to bring it back. But what we can do is we can have water condensers and allow the reservoirs to hold more in the springtime, and I was trying to talk to the people in Townsend and everything like that so that they could raise it, and while it was flooding down in the south, Louisiana and everything like this, they were still letting out way too much in there, as well as they if you try and put a pond to catch rainwater or anything like that, that could actually go back in to replenish the groundwater. The different government agencies wouldn't allow that to happen. And then finally, quickly here, in regards to trailers and motorhomes on other people's property and everything, it's just ridiculous that these county prosecutors are threatening and taking people to courts for trailers, motorhomes, dry camping on their said properties, when nobody can find any places. And so what I'm thinking about doing is getting a hold of Austin Knutson, as well as Greg. I've known Greg for many, many years, Gioforte. And see if we he's got to be a Democratic prosecutor or something like this. Or I'm not really sure what the heck is going on. But it's just unconscionable that they're with going on with COVID and police the cost of living and so on and so forth, that they're really cranking down on anybody that has a motorhome or a trailer that has somebody dry camping or whatever on their said property. So I'll leave it with that and get a hold of you next week.
Okay. All right. Thanks much. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, time for my rant.
Go for it.
Treasury Action News. This is what I'm going to cover as quickly as I can with the allotted time. We find out now this last week, the Federal Reserve Chairman announced that the Fed's balance sheet is, hold on, $12 trillion. 80% is U.S. debt. The rest are mortgage-backed securities they've been buying from the banks for 20 years to build them up. The bear market is here. It's not going away. There's no bounce. There's no bear market or bull bear market. The recession is on full way. The Fed rate you'll see go to 8 to 10% by year end. Morgan Stanley's chairman came out this week and said that he expects equities may drop as much as, are you ready, 85%. The bond face value of 30 and 20 year bonds is going to go down to probably 50%. So we're going to cover that real briefly. I've told you that you want to hold cash in any retirement or bank account and get ready to buy bonds this summer or earlier, if not later, at 50, at half their face value, and be making 8 to 10% on it for the next 20, 30 years. So you'll retire great. Just get ready to do it. So inflation is at 8.5%. We saw that this week, and it's going to go to 12 to 15 by the end of 2022. Banks are adding to their credit reserves in anticipation of this. And why would banks be buying U.S. debt, which we'll talk about as soon as I finish this comment, at $100 face value when they're selling as low as 85 right now and going lower? Look, fixed income has always been a staple of retired people. Fixed income being that you buy debt, pays you interest, and you can live on that. Well, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for those in 20s, 30s, and 40s to be able to jump into this at the right time, sometime in the next 3 months, to buy 10, 20, 30-year bonds in their accounts or in their investment accounts, to generate the retirement money forever. So here we go, folks. The U.S. Treasury offered a 56-day note this week. $30 billion were offered. It was offered at a point interest of 0.005. Well, for $10.5 billion is what was bought by the market on that 56-day bill. By the way, $120 billion outstanding of that bill into the public right now. Two more. The 28-day bill this week that was auctioned, $35 billion. Currently outstanding, $78 billion of that. The interest rate on that was the same, 0.005%. This was worse. $12.25 billion was purchased. And number three, the 119-day bill, $30 billion was auctioned for offer. The interest rate, again, 0.005, not good. $10.5 billion was taken down by the market. Why do I say this? Well, if we look at what we understand to be the case right now, the 30-year bond is face value in the market. What you can buy it at your bank or through your brokerage account is $86.73. That means with just a 0.25 raised by the Fed 2 weeks later, it's already lost 14% of its value. And I believe that 20-year bond will drop in face value to buy in the market outside of the banks yourself, but buy it yourself, will drop to probably $50 to $60. The 20-year is equally difficult. It's dropped 10% in the last 2 weeks to $89. It will go lower. The market interest rate on that will rise. So once you buy it, you'll have a welcoming benefit in your investment account or your bank account. Now, if you purchase these in your investment account, the important thing to know too is that like the 10-year Treasury note that's at face value right now of $919 in the future, as the value, or as you generate cash from the interest that you'll get on these in a retirement fund, you'll be able to go to the bank and buy more and then put them in your account over the next 2 or 3 years, because this will go on for that long, and swap out the cash. So this is a great opportunity for you not only to build for retirement, but be able to utilize the cash generated from the interest in your account by swapping something you purchase outside of it and then swap it into your account for cash. So that's the thumbnail of that. And then finally, I just want to explain to you why I think we have a serious issue with the bear market, and why the bear market is what you're seeing these up and down swings. Has nothing to do with the economy, has nothing to do except that the market professionals know that this is a downturn bull market, and there'll be short pushes because every major stock, and I'll just give you three because everyone talks about them, Facebook, you know, having a serious problem at 122 after a horrific dump, 30 million short position, 30 million shares short on that stock. So that means even if it drops $5 or $10 or $2 or $3 in a day, they'll cover that. And then the minute someone comes in, because they're telling you on TV to buy all these stocks, people may come in and buy, then they short again. But that's not working out too well because right now we've discerned this week by people that want to pay attention to this, that less than 17% of the public or right now, 17 to 28% of the public are even interested in buying any of these stocks, no matter how they're being pushed to be bought, because it's a good investment in the long run. This is the worst in 20 years since they've kept these records, and started with the middle class average person, 63% of them investing in the market. Now they don't see it as a great favor. I want to mention Google. The reason for this is important for two reasons. They've split the stock 20 to 1, as you know. We've talked about it. But right now, as it stands today, before the split goes through, meaning it goes from a public float of 300 million shares outstanding to 6 billion, there's 2 million short interest. Well, that doubles. That goes from 2 million to 40 million when they split it 20 to 1. So people are anticipating even after the split, it will still drop. One final one that I think is important to look at, only because the stock is holding up well. Coke's holding up well. A lot of industrials are. Disney's holding up well. That's because they're institutionalized and, they're in trust baby funds and so forth. But Microsoft's a good standard to look at. And the reason I like to say that is because, you know, they've got a float. They've got 7.3 billion shares out. And, you know, at one point it was 8.7 billion. So they've been buying back their shares. Why do I make that comment? Because the only stock you want to keep is something paying you a dividend. If they can afford to give you a dividend, keep it. Otherwise, go to cash, get ready for this because it's coming and it's going to be a tsunami. But here's Microsoft, 7.3 billion out, 36 billion shorts. On that. And by the way, the company is buying billions of dollars worth of stock back every year. And there you go. My rant for 8 minutes, Thomas.
Okay. From our text line, 478-8298, Shane, basically since last May, you've been telling us that only 30 to 33% of our debt has been purchased at these treasury auctions. Has it changed at all over the last 11 months?
No, it's only gotten worse, and it's the worst in 30 years. Probably you could go back as a comparison back to the Carter years because of what was happening with the economy then. So, it's a stark reality. No one's telling you it. None of the, doughheads on financial networks or even the news, including Fox, wants to talk about it. And the Fed is raising interest rates, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to pound it on the radio and any chance I get. The rise of the Fed rate has nothing to do with inflation. It has to do with getting people to buy debt. Because as Tom has pointed out, right now the banks are charging 5% for a house loan.
Yep.
And if the Fed rate goes up a point and you see these numbers, you know what's going to happen. They're going to go to 8%. The Fed is saying it's because of inflation. It's not. It's going to be to save the world. Yeah. And to get Americans to buy debt again.
What about bonds for people in their 60s?
Well, the interesting aspect of that right now, they should have been advised, as we did tell you in November and December, to liquidate and go to cash. And you would have had the cash to live on for the next 6 months without much difficulty. One of the great things about this opportunity is that U.S. debt that you buy is marginable. So you only need 10% to purchase it unless you buy it outright. You'll want to buy it outright when it gets so cheap, like $50 to $70 face value. But, you know, you could switch back in and be able to use value stocks that you have to purchase debt at a 10% interest, because even whatever you get charged by the brokerage firm, you're going to see, you know, a huge swing on what's being paid. Mm-hmm. Now, remember the importance of the Fed having $12 trillion is now they're going to start selling it. So on top of having to raise money to fund your country, the Fed has to sell what it's bought to fund your country. So that's what's going to make this worse. But yeah, never fear, the Fed still is the largest payer to your treasury of money because they've got $12 trillion in debt they're getting interest on, and it all goes to the U.S. Treasury. So there is a bit of a rainbow there.
All right. From our text line, 478-8298, Shane's financial segment makes people tune out, puts me to sleep. So there you go.
Well, that's regrettable, but someone has to talk about it, Thomas.
That's true.
And I hope I try to go through it as quickly as I can and explain it as simply as I can. And the purpose is then those that are interested that are in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, you know, millennials and the X and Z's, you know, someone has to tell them what to do, and not tell them what to do, but give them the information so they know what to do. Rather, yeah, that's the better way.
That'd be right. Yeah. Well, we promised chickens, and I'm going to deliver 570,000. A half a million chickens are going to be euthanized because they've got bird flu on a poultry farm, one of the biggest in the country. I would assume if they got half a billion chickens, or half a million chickens, I should say. So, I buy eggs in the five dozen, Shane, which is usually about $8, $9, maybe. $15 for five dozen eggs. No, thank you. I don't know, man. That's
tough, buddy.
That's tough. I mean, yeah,
that and you know, and then you have to deal with gas and ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're running out of time here. Student loans, do you think they're going to, do you think they're going to keep the you don't have to pay in place, or are they going to forgive them? Are they going to forgive $1 trillion worth of student loans, Shane?
Well, look, the bottom line to it is $1.7 billion. Mm-hmm. Most of them are held by your government through the FFELP loans that were taken out, and Perkin loans that were taken out. But both of these ceased to exist. Perkins was named after the congressman that put it up. But, 2017, it wasn't refunded by your Congress, so they stopped making them. And then, of course, you have the federal family education loan. Again, went away because of a lack of funding by your government back in 2012. So I got to go, and we'll talk maybe on a podcast about it.
Okay? All right. Say goodbye, Shane.
Be happy, be safe, everyone. Live in the moment, live to work. Happy Easter. It's a wonderful weekend for all of us. We're blessed to live in the two greatest country clubs in the world. Come home to your family with a smile on your face. That's the way they want to see you coming through the front door. Thank you, Thomas.
All right, ma'am. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, thanks for being with us today, and we really appreciate it. Sorry about the phone lines, and I guess we're down in Livingston and all over the place with the app, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I've sent off emails to let people know what's going on, so hopefully they can fix it, and we apologize for that. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up. Happy Easter, everybody. I am out of here.